We want to turn today to the Gospel of John and chapter 1 and the 17th verse. John 1:17 reads like this: "The law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ." I want you to notice here that there is a difference between what Moses brought to the people from God and what the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to us from God. Jesus said that when you know the truth will set you free. And one of Satan's aims through the years has been to prevent believers from knowing the truth fully. He would like believers to know as little of the truth as possible so that they don't become free. And do you know that a lot of the bondage that you may be facing in different areas due to discouragement and depression and bad moods and slavery to sinful habits, all this bondage is due to the fact that you don't know the truth of God fully. You may know it partially. You may know, for example, that Christ died for your sins and that your sins are all forgiven. That itself liberated you from something. It liberated you from the guilt of sin that weighed you down. It liberated you from the uncertainty about where you would go when you would die. In the same way, every truth of God brings liberation. In fact, that's how you know whether you are understanding Scripture correctly as the truth or not. Anything that brings you into bondage is not the truth of God. The truth of God is something that sets you free. John 8:32 is a verse you must always remember. The truth will set you free. So here is a truth in this verse that we just considered that we need to understand. We must not read it superficially and go on to the next verse. The Bible says, "Blessed is the man who meditates on the law of God." So we need to think about this. Grace is a word that Christians use regularly. And yet, most Christians don't understand what it really means. Or they understand it only partially. What does grace really mean? Let's think about that. And let's think about that in the light of this verse. And what we read from this verse is that grace came only through Jesus Christ, which means that in the entire Old Testament, there was no grace. There was mercy, but mercy is different from grace. Mercy, we can say, is an Old Testament word and a New Testament word. Whereas grace is exclusively a New Testament word. Mercy relates to our past life, the forgiveness of our sins. God is merciful to us, and people in the Old Testament had that. David says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, who forgives all your iniquities." That was mercy. Many times you read in the Old Testament about the Lord whose mercy endures forever. But grace is a word that you find in the New Testament. You never find it in the Old Testament in the sense of grace being upon people. When it says in those odd occurrences like Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, what it really means is he found favor. It's not this New Testament word grace that is referred to in those one or two instances in the Old Testament. New Testament grace came, John 1:17 says very clearly, only through Jesus Christ. So this understanding that a lot of Christians have, that grace is God's unmerited favor, is a wrong definition. It's not found anywhere in the Bible, because everybody gets God's unmerited favor. Look at all the unbelievers in the world today who are enjoying health and many of God's blessings. They don't merit it. It's God's favor which they are getting unmerited and undeserved. But that's not grace. Far from it. No unbeliever receives grace. For that matter, everybody in the Old Testament received God's undeserved favor, but that wasn't grace. So grace is not undeserved favor. Grace is put here, verse 17, in contrast to the law. The law symbolized the entire old covenant that God made with Israel. Grace symbolizes, if we were to use one word, it would be grace, that symbolizes the new covenant that God made with the disciples of Jesus Christ or Christians. You know that your Bible is divided into Old Testament and New Testament, which is the same as Old Covenant and New Covenant, or Old Agreement and New Agreement. In other words, under the Mount Sinai, when God met with the people of Israel through Moses, he made an agreement with them. And under that old covenant, there were certain terms and conditions. And you read about them, particularly in a chapter like Deuteronomy 28, where you read, God said, if you keep these commandments of mine, I'll bless you in the city, in the country, in your fields, in your family, in your cattle, and in every possible way, financially, etc. And if you don't obey them, I'll curse you in so many ways. Those were the terms and conditions of that agreement, which is called the law. There was no provision made by God for man to overcome sin under the law. The law only said, you read in Exodus 20 about certain commandments, you were supposed to keep them. If you kept them, you'd be blessed. If you didn't keep them, you'd be cursed. And almost all those commandments, except the last one, dealt with something external, something which would be visible on the outside. If you disobeyed those commandments on the outside, then only people would know it. It had nothing to do with the heart. Whereas when you come into the new covenant, you find the emphasis shifts from the external to the internal. And you read that particularly in the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus said, in the Old Testament you were told don't commit murder, but I say don't even get angry with somebody in your heart. In the Old Testament you were told don't commit adultery, but I say to you don't even do it in your heart. In the Old Testament you were told speak the truth whenever you take a vow, but I say to you speak the truth always. And he went on like that to contrast the old and the new, and he said, for example, in the Old Testament, it didn't matter with what motive you prayed. But in the New Testament, he says it does matter. You should not pray to impress men. In the Old Testament, it didn't matter whether you allowed people to see the tithes you were giving to God, but in the New Testament, it does. The motive with which you give is more important than what you give. So you see, as soon as Jesus began his teaching, he shifted the emphasis from the external to the internal. In other words, he was laying the axe to the root of the tree. And that's where grace comes in. See, grace from God is God's power and resources all made available to us according to what our need is. Our first need is forgiveness of sins. And therefore it says in Ephesians 1 that we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. That's where we begin. But those riches of grace go way beyond forgiveness of sins. That's just the beginning. When we move on from forgiveness of sins, we find we have this other problem in our life of our constantly being defeated by the sinful nature that we've inherited from Adam. And that's our number two problem. Our number one problem is the guilt of our past life, which is taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we have forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. But then we have this other problem. And for that also, the answer is grace, which was not available in the Old Testament. Now, if you turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, we are told that the Holy Spirit is, Hebrews 10 and verse 29, The Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Grace. Do you know why the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost? It was to communicate this wonderful new thing called grace to man, to all who would receive it. See, God doesn't force His grace on people who don't want it. And even the measure of grace which a man receives depends on how much he wants. God won't force a man to go beyond what he wants. If a man wants only forgiveness of sins, even in this New Testament age, that's all he'll get. He can spend his whole life defeated by sin because he doesn't want any more than forgiveness. He just wants a last seat in heaven, and he's happy with that, and that's all God gives him. Because God respects your free will even after you're converted. It's like sunlight. If you sit in a room which is completely enclosed, the sunlight won't come in. But if you open a small little slit in the wall, the sunlight will come in. How much will come in? As much as the size of your opening. You open a bigger window, you get more. You open the doors, you get still more. Grace is like that. Grace will enter your life in the measure in which you let it in. And that depends on how much you want of God's grace in your life. But the Holy Spirit has come to communicate that grace to us. So, if He sees that your need is to overcome some sinful habit in your life, perhaps you're a slave to anger, perhaps, or to lusting with your eyes, or some other habit that you're ashamed of, that you're even ashamed to admit to your closest friends. Do you know that God's grace can help you to overcome that? Here's the truth that can set you free. Let me read you a verse in Romans in chapter 6 and verse 14. Here's a wonderful promise. To me, it's one of the most wonderful promises in the New Testament. Sin shall not have dominion over you, or be master over you, or rule over you. Because now you're not under law, but under grace. Isn't that an amazing promise? Then why is it that so many Christians are still defeated by sin? Well, God's word is true. It must be that they have not come under grace fully. What is the difference between being under law and under grace? To be under law means we try and try and try and try and try in our own strength to try and keep live up to God's standards, to keep His laws. And we don't usually succeed. Even the external standard of God's law, we find it very difficult to keep. Even the Ten Commandments. You may keep 9 of them. You may not kill, you may honor your father and mother, you may not steal, you may not commit adultery. But when you come to the 10th one, which says, you shall not covet, you shall not desire your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's daughter or your neighbor's sister or your neighbor's house or your neighbor's servant or anything that's your neighbor's. In other words, you should not desire. You shall not be greedy for something that is not yours. Lusting with the eyes falls under that category. Nobody could keep it. Paul the Apostle says quite honestly that he himself could not keep it. He who had kept the entire law could not keep it. Now the thing is, a lot of people, when they can't keep God's law, they just accept it. Oh well, we are human. We'll be defeated all our lives. And they live like that forever. But there are some who are not satisfied with their defeated life. And those are the ones for whom Romans 6:14 is a liberating message. That sin need never rule over you if you come under grace. It's like a proclamation of liberty to a prisoner who has been sentenced to life in jail. To hear that he can be free. This is the wonderful truth of grace in the new covenant. That God's grace can liberate us from the power of sin. Now, who do you think is going to be excited about this? Only someone who's really eager about being free from sin. Now, this is not a liberating message to a person who's quite happy in his sinful condition or who's enjoying his sin and does not want to give it up. Well, he's not interested in grace. And the reason why many Christians don't move on to experience the riches of God's grace is because they're not really all that keen on being free from sin. So I want to ask you today, are you keen on being free from sin? If so, here is the way. This is God's promise. And when God has said something, you can be absolutely sure that it will be fulfilled. It may not be fulfilled overnight. Do you remember in the Old Testament how God gave Abraham a promise that he would be the father of a multitude? He changed his name to Abraham. When the promised seed of Isaac was not even born. And people would ask him, what's your name? He'd say, father of a multitude. How many children does your wife Sarah have? None. Doesn't that look like a contradiction? My name is father of a multitude, but my wife doesn't even have one son. But he kept on calling himself the father of a multitude. I'm the father of a multitude. I'm the father of a multitude. My name is Abraham. My name is Abraham. Because God has said that my name is Abraham. What was the result? Today, he is the father of a multitude, physically and spiritually. It's exactly like God told him, because he held on to it. 25 years after God promised to make him a blessing to the families of the earth, he got his first son through Sarah. Think how long he held on. And he's called the father of faith. A very important aspect of faith is patience. To hold on to God's promise. Here's a promise I want to give you today. Sin shall not rule over you, because you're not under law, but you're under grace. Grace is God's power that comes to help you to overcome sin. You don't have to be defeated. Seek God for this grace. Don't think that you have to live all your life defeated as you have been in past years. That's not God's will for you. You may choose to live like that. That's up to you. And God won't force you to come to a higher life if you're not interested. Well, you can look around at the Christians around you and see that most of them are living defeated lives and be satisfied with that. Or you can be one of those rare Christians who decides to live according to the standards of God's word and not according to the standards of the Christians around you. That's your choice. I hope you'll be one of them who decides that you want to experience this grace that came through Jesus Christ. Let me say one more thing. A lot of people think that grace means now it doesn't matter whether you sin or not. Now that's a deception. We could call that cheap grace, false grace, where you think that in the Old Testament, of course, God was very strict, that you had to keep his commandments. But now God sort of become lenient and decided to let you go and forgive you no matter, even if you keep on sinning again and again and again. And that's what's called grace. Now, that's the lie of the devil. Just think of it logically. What did we think in John 1? What did we read in John 1:17? The law came through Moses. Grace came through Jesus Christ. Okay, let's think of it logically. Has Jesus come to enable us to live at a lower standard than Moses or a higher standard than Moses? What do you think? It must be a higher standard, certainly. How much higher? As much higher as Jesus is than Moses. There is a life, my friend, that you can live if you will trust God. Will you come to him and say, Lord Jesus, I want to live by your grace. I want to live this overcoming life. Help me. Let's just pray before we close. While our heads are bowed in prayer, will you close your eyes for a moment and ask the Lord Jesus to lead you into this life. Pray a simple prayer right now. Say, Lord, I'm defeated, but I don't want to be defeated anymore. I'm sick and tired of my defeated life. Deliver me. Help me to know this life under grace. In Jesus' name, Amen. God bless you.
You are invited to visit our website on the internet at www.cfcindia.com. That is www.cfcindia.com and at punen.org/Zach. That is punen.org/ZAC for video messages, audio messages, and books by Zach Punen that can all be downloaded freely. Our mailing address is Christian Fellowship Center, 40 DeCosta Square, Bangalore, 560084, India. If you would like to receive a weekly message by Zach Punen by email, please send us your email address to cfclit@touchtelindia.net. That is cfclit@touchtelindia.net. The Lord bless you richly.